Aloha and Merry Christmas. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will share with us one of the best gifts we can give this Christmas, the gift of forgiveness, to genuinely forgive someone who has wronged you. Later, we'll be hearing a testimony from one of the staff members of New Hope whose life was changed when she offered someone forgiveness. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Christmas is Forgiving.
Would you take out your notes with me as we speak about one of Christmas's greatest gifts of all? Now, as you know, I've been a grandfather. I love being a grandfather. It's kind of like, because, you know, they hand you the baby, and it's cooing and smiling. But when it begins to emit, like, foreign odors, you can return it. It's like rent a kid. It's really neat. I like it. In fact, I like being a grandparent and having grandkids so much. I think if I had to do it all over again, I'd have grandkids first and then my kids later. But it's just great. And everything is fine until my wife came to me and said, honey, you gotta do the change bit. I said, what do you mean the change bit? She said, it's the number two in the diaper. I said, oh, come on. I said, I'll get the next one. She said, no. I said, I promise the next one. She said, okay, all right. So about 3-4 hours later, she brought her back to me again. She's all right, here's the next one. I said, no, 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 no. She said, this is the next one and it's full. I said, I know. She said, well, here's the next one. I said, no, I meant the next child. So it's kind of easy, you know, you can just kind of shuck and jive and do an end run on. So I love being a grandparent because it's just like rent a child. It's wonderful. How many of you are done shopping? Raise your hand. Done shopping. Okay, God bless you. God bless you. That's amazing. How many of you haven't even begun yet? God bless you more. God bless you more. How many of you are waiting for an angel to stir the waters before you begin? Yeah, me too. That's how I am. I kind of wait. But let me talk to you about the greatest gift you can give this Christmas. Now, here at New Hope, you won't hear a lot about vertical skills in life. For example, on financial, what is your favorite stock, or what's the most favorable IPO, or what's the best car to buy, or forecasting real estate or speculation. Those kinds of things you won't hear much, although you'll have to make decisions on these things. But what you will hear are horizontal principles, not necessarily vertical skills as much as horizontal principles that will run the grid all the way through all of these decisions that you'll need to make about finances, your house, your car, what kind of car, kids, how many kids, how many you wish you didn't have, how many you wish you did have, all of those things. You'll hear a lot about horizontal principles that go across this way. Insight, biblical wisdom, sources of wisdom. But today I want to speak about one of the broadest cloths that run through and make up the fabric of life itself that has to touch every decision of our life. And it's something called forgiveness. It has to run all the way through and weave together a fabric of life. So we're going to talk about that and a characteristic about forgiveness that's often overlooked. So to begin, let's start with a scripture at the top of our notes. It's a classic Christmas scripture found in Matthew 1 and verse 21. So let's read it in our best Christmas voices, all right? Go. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Would you circle his people? And underline from their sins. Did you know that God's people, not those outside the Father's house, but Jesus came actually also for his people because he's saying we need to be delivered from the devastating effects of sin. And one of the reasons he came was not only for those outside the Father's kingdom, but for those who are inside the Father's kingdom who need to be delivered from the effects of sin. Because it applies to us as well. And that's one of the reasons he came. Let me start this way. Have you ever given a gift to somebody knowing that it's really going to benefit you more than that person to whom it's given? I did that when I was a brand new husband. I knew that I had to somehow help my wife to do certain things. So the Christmas came along and I bought her a vacuum cleaner. a bread maker, and a tool chest. And for a big yard, I bought my daughter a riding lawnmower. She loved that. You know, I think, whoa, what a wonderful Christmas. And then I was thinking, forgiveness is just like that. Forgiveness, though it's given, it really has huge benefits for you. But first, before we talk about that, let me talk about this, and that is that forgiveness is something, first of all, that we can't give until we receive. So first of all, forgiveness is something we receive. Would you write that in? Forgiveness is something we receive. It's unmerited, undeserved. It's like the Lord just gives us forgiveness. Even yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Forgiveness was given when we deserved it the least, when it was unmerited. He paid for it, purchased it, made it available to us, invites us to Calvary to receive that. And we must receive it. Let's read what it says here and you'll see. Go. You were dead because of your sins. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. You see, even the record against us, the Lord says, I will annihilate, obliterate that. This gift of forgiveness is huge. It's huge. But there's a reason that God wants us to receive it. It's not just simply to consume it on ourselves, although it will begin the process. It's sort of like the Lord takes this thing, gift called forgiveness, and boom, puts it in your court. And now we need to do something with it. But what? Although it does bring regeneration and redemption to us, that's not an end in itself. It's actually a means. This is the characteristic about forgiveness that I think is most often overlooked, that we need to take a look at it today. The story is told of an old miner 4 days into the desert. There's a mine shaft, and many people would go there and dig for gold, try their luck at it. But because it was so far in the desert, they found that many of them were not bringing enough water and they would die of thirst out there. One day, one of the miners who had some geological savvy saw something about a ground area, began digging, and lo and behold, found that there was water under there. Went back, installed one of those hand pumps, old-fashioned hand pumps, because this was way back in the 1800s. And installed one of these pumps, got the water out, put it in one of these flasks, and hand scribbled a note to it. And it said this: by the time you get to this here watering hole, you'll be awfully thirsty. I know. Now, this flask is filled with water. Now, you can do one of two things, and your life will depend on the choice that you make. Number one, you can take this water and drink it, because by now you'll be awfully thirsty and you'll water your mule and yourself. But if you consume it on yourself, that's all you will get. Or number two, you can trust this pump and pour it into it to prime the pump. It'll wet the leather and it'll begin to pump water, and keep pouring in until it primes the pump and gets the water going. And if you're willing to give this away instead of drink it, you'll be able to get all the water you'll need for yourself, your canteens, and your mules. But make the right choice. The note says, your future depends on it. Forgiveness is sort of like that. God gives us this gift of forgiveness, but it's not simply to consume on ourselves and then fold our hands. No, because it's not only a gift to be received, but once you receive it, if we want more, the Bible's going to teach us, in order to receive more, you have to what? Give it away. Would you write that in the second point there? You got to give it away. It's received after we give. Let's read what it says in Mark 11, verse 25. Go. Whenever you stand praying, what? Forgive if you have anything against anyone. Why? So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. And the scripture is laden with these examples and with these exhortations. Matthew chapter 5. If you come to the altar and there you're going to leave a gift and you remember that you have something unresolved with somebody else, leave your gift at the altar. Go first, make it right, and then come back and offer your gift. It's important. The Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we what? Forgive those who trespass against us. Matthew 18, the story of the man who received forgiveness from the Lord and then consumed it. And when someone else needed forgiveness, he refused to give it away. That man was destined for prison because he would not forgive another. Therefore, he would not receive any more forgiveness himself. There's a quality about forgiveness that's very important that I want us to catch today. And it's crucial. Forgiveness is absolutely crucial, and you've got to catch this. Why is it so important, you say? You won't understand the importance of forgiveness until you begin to understand the silent, the slow, the death march of sin in your life that's unresolved. When there is an offense, when there's a betrayal, when there's an expectation that's broken and we hold something against someone else because of a sin, it starts or it sets in motion, that unresolved sin sets in motion a progression that if not arrested, it will end in what? The wages of sin is death. Its final goal, the end of its death march, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It must be arrested, and there's only one way. Like HIV, you can contract that, and the next day you think you're fine, but you're a carrier, and it's going to start its slow death march. And surely as anything, it will end in death. It is a slow, evasive erosion that will not stop unless it's arrested. Some time ago, a young lady came to me with her friend, and she said, "Wayne, look at this." Her friend had a puncture wound that was uncared for in her hand, and it happened some time before. And at the time that I saw this and observed, there was a red line that had run all the way down towards her armpit. And I knew that an infection had gotten into her lymph system. And I said, "When was the last time you had a tetanus or a booster?" She said, "What's that?" I said, "You haven't had one." So I said, "You better get to the doctor immediately because infection has gone through your lymph system. If it gets to your heart, that's where tetanus or lockjaw, ultimate death takes place. You need to get there now." She went to the hospital and sure enough, they put her on a stiff program of intravenous antibiotics to stop or arrest that infection that was on the inside that she didn't know was going on, but she was a carrier of that insidious problem and that malady, which would have ended in death had it not been arrested. And the same thing is true when there is a puncture wound of sin, whether it's caused by you or intentionally by another or unintentionally by another, and we are the holders of the carriers of this sin, this event, this problem, whether it was something done to you in finances or an expectation or a dream broken or promise broken or a moral thing violated, you now have this in you. And this thing is alive. Sin is something that's alive, and its goal is death, and it has to be taken care of. But what if that person doesn't deserve it? It has nothing to do with that. You better arrest this thing. Stop it now. Stop it now. It's sort of like you getting into an accident, and you're injured, and you're upset because someone ran into you, and that person says, "We better get you to the doctor so that we can get you fixed up." "No, no, I want to know why he ran into me." "No, you better get..." "Nope. I want to know why he ran into me." "You're going to die." "I don't care. I want to know why he ran into me." "No, I don't care why he ran into me. Get that thing fixed first. Stop the bleeding. Start the triage, whatever needs to be done to stop this death from having its final goal in this person who is a victim. Forgiveness is something that God gave to us as a gift to arrest. It's the only antidote that I know of that God has given. Because see, sin is slow, but it's evasive. It creeps, but it's certain. It's measured, but its aim is to destroy you. And so God speaks about that, to stem the tide of sin's advance. You've got to understand that. If you don't, it will have its effect in your marriage, in your mind. It will cause doubts to come into your mind. You'll become cynical, critical, and you won't know why. You'll rationalize it. You'll think it's righteous. You'll start to believe deceptive things. It affects your heart, your health, and then your children. If you tolerate unforgiveness in your life, you will develop a culture that tolerates unforgiveness, and you'll develop generations of the same. That's why Exodus chapter 34 speaks to fathers, and he says, "Be careful that the iniquity of the father will be visited to the sons and your sons' sons up to the third and fourth generation." In other words, if I tolerate a certain sin or iniquity in my life, it will be exampled in such a way that it will be invasive and it will be systemic. We'll go right down to the root system is what it means, and it'll continue its tarmac all the way down to the third and fourth generation. Someone has to stem the tide. Someone has to stop. And the gift that God gave to us is called forgiveness. Does that mean someone deserves it? It doesn't matter. Forgiveness is about sin, not about the deservedness of the perpetrator. It's about the fact that sin is evasive and it starts in your life and it won't stop until something arrests it. And that's why God purchased forgiveness on the cross. It is a powerful, powerful gift.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled "Christmas is Forgiving" by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. But right now, a real life testimony of forgiveness in action.
My name is Dawn O'Brien. I come from a fine fighting Irish family. And to make it even better, I'm half Tongan, so I got the body to back it up. And unfortunately, we fought so much that my parents got a divorce when I was just 9 years old. By that time, I had been raising my three little sisters on my own. They were 7, 5, and 4 years old. My parents fought for custody for us, but they finally just sent us away to live by ourselves with our mom's family in Tonga, which is a third world country in the South Pacific. My mom promised to come and get us in 3 months, but it was really scary. We didn't know anyone there, and we didn't speak the language. And to make it worse, we're half white. We got picked on a lot, and we got into a lot of fights and trouble. Tonga's a very poor country. We often didn't have enough to eat, and we didn't have enough money. But my mom didn't come to get us in 3 months. It took 3 long years. I found out at that point that my mom had gone off to California to try to make it on her own. I also found out about her extramarital affairs. I couldn't believe it. All those years of suffering, of being hungry and begging her for money. All those years of being forgotten and begging her to come get us. Just come visit us, Mom. All those years of being abandoned and alone. But I was 12 years old by that point. I had been in enough fights and I was a hardened warrior. And I decided that nobody was ever gonna hurt me again. Or my sisters. When I was 16, I moved back to the Big Island to live with my dad, and he took us to New Hope Hilo. It was there that I saw Pastor Wayne Cordero preach the love of God like nobody I ever saw before. But it was the way that Pastor Wayne lived that love that really hit my hard heart. I used to be kind of a punk by that point because I was so hard-hearted. And me and my three little sisters, we'd come sit in the front row right there. And we'd laugh at Pastor Wayne. I mean, he's funny, but we weren't laughing at just the jokes. We were heckling him. We were laughing and trying to throw him off. Listen to that high voice. Hi, Pastor Wayne here. And then they'd send one of the biggest ushers down to come get us, AKA bouncers. And this big Hawaiian security guard would come up and say, "Girls, get up and get out." But Pastor Wayne never kicked us out. He would always smile. You know how he smiles. And he welcomed us back. And I found out that the unconditional love of God that he preached about, it was for real, because I saw it in Pastor Wayne. One day, he talked about how tough life can be and how sometimes we hit rock bottom. He told me that I still had a future and a hope. But at that point, I was really hateful still and angry. I was so hateful, I had become really withdrawn and shy, and I couldn't talk to people. And at 16, I was suicidal. He said I had a future and a hope, and that if I said yes to Jesus, I could have a new life. I didn't want to live anymore in this hurtful world. And so, since I didn't have anything else to live for, I said yes to Jesus. And then I prayed an extra prayer. I don't think you're supposed to do this. It's kind of cheating. But I said, "God, when I grow up, I want to work for you, and I want to work for Pastor Wayne, because I saw what the power of speaking for God could do to change people's lives just like me. Today, I work for God at New Hope." And I'm not shy anymore. In fact, the trick is getting me to be quiet. All my sisters love God today, and they serve in their ministries in churches, and my dad too. And then recently, my mom moved back to Hawaii, and she said yes to Jesus too. I found out that forgiving my mom was giving myself a gift of freedom from past hurts, and freedom to live and love again. Today, my mom is still a beautiful lady, but she has a little catch in her smile. She's often crying when she smiles at me, and I said, "Mom, why do you cry so much?" She said, "Because she's so grateful for all that God has done for her in her life, but she's so proud of all that I do for God. I know all God did for me and my mom, and I smile." This Christmas, I wish you a very happy family, wrapped in the gift wrap of forgiveness, even if you have to re-gift that one again and again and again. God bless you.
With your heads bowed, if you're here and you say, "You know, Wayne, I've not received the initial gift of forgiveness because I know that I have rejected Christ. I so need his free gift of eternal life, and I attest, I confess the fact that I need it desperately. I want to open my heart to Christ so that he can begin his work in me, and I'll promise to be a venue through which forgiveness takes place, but it's got to start from heaven to me, and then I'll be faithful to steward it. But Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? I choose to follow you. Make me brand new. I come to Calvary myself, and I ask for salvation, that you'll change me, make me new." If that's you today, would you raise a hand and you're saying, "Yes, I need to receive Christ." Yep, okay, yeah. All right, you too, yeah, okay. Yep, on the sides, yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, in the back as well. Yeah, okay, you too, yeah, all right, yeah. Let's all pray this prayer together as we close. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus and the forgiveness that you paid and we received as a gift. Change us. Make us the people you want us to be. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's the cry of our heart. Thank you for allowing us to give the gift of forgiveness, even as you have done to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ for the first time.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Christmas is Forgiving by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast.
Celebrate Christmas at New Hope Oahu. Join New Hope Music, the New Hope Chorale, and Senior Pastor John Tilton on Thursday, December 22nd at 7 p.m., Friday, December 23rd at 5 and 7 p.m., and Saturday, December 24th at 5 and 7 p.m. Live Japanese, Chinese, and American Sign Language translations will be available at select services. Experience exuberant joy, overwhelming peace, and unconditional love this Christmas at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.